Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We try to have fun, well, every night of the week, but definitely on the Hump Show, because I understand what it's like to feel as though you're stuck right in the middle of a week. Or in my case, as very often happens, I do a face plant right into the hump. And this week has been more challenging because I'm not sleeping well. I don't know why. I wish there was some formula, something I could correct, but it's not been a great start to the week in terms of sleeping. And so I'm really proud that I've gotten a bunch of yard work done as the winter approaches. And we're about to have two nights in my neighborhood of temps in the low 20s. And get this, daytime wind chills in the 20s coming up on Wednesday. And so it's about to get really cold, which means I need to not only make sure the lawn was completely done, but also my hose still has water in it. And so I've been getting lessons from the family on how to winterize my hose so it does not freeze the pipes or ruin the faucet or what. These are not things that I ever got an education on. And so those are things that I've been doing. I had to bring my plants inside. You guys are going to laugh at this, but I had this old fern, a Boston fern. I'm not kidding. I've probably had this thing 20 years, at least the original. And I've split it and I've repotted it and I've given half of it away. And it just, you have to essentially set a fern on fire to kill it. These things are extremely hardy. And so the fern was the last plant that was sitting outside, but we're supposed to get these two really hard frosts hard freezes. And so I had to get the fern inside, but a lot of it was completely root bound. It was in this old pot. And so I was trying to break off a piece and repot it. I could not get that thing apart. So I tried all kinds of different tools. I tried to step on it. I've got enough weight that you would think I'd be able to smash the thing. Nope. I had to get a pitchfork and not only spike the middle of the fern in this root bound chunk that came out of the pot, but then
I'll split us up.
Hi, Russ. But then I had to step on the pitchfork and rip the plant apart. I mean, it was crazy. My gosh, I made a total mess out in my yard, but it was fine. I got done with that. So I did that, and I also finally fertilized the front lawn. I had done the back a while ago, and my gosh, the grass is growing like great gangbusters even now. So my yard is finally winterized, and this, of course, means that I was in and out of my shed in the backyard the last couple of days. If you missed it, on Monday afternoon, I was in the shed for my rake, my shovel, some lawn debris bags, and I left the door open and went out in the front yard to rake and bag leaves for an hour. While I left the door open, a squirrel decided that he thought the shed looked like a good place to investigate, maybe, or to take up residence, maybe. And so I went back on Monday afternoon to put my tools away, and I walk in and I hear this scrambling in the back of my shed. And so I freak out. And then the squirrel freaks out. He starts chattering. I'm kind of screeching. And the more I screech, the louder the squirrel gets. Well,
oh no!
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. And that's probably what he was thinking too. So I take my flashlight. I have a mag light. By this time, it's dark. I mean, I was aerating the front lawn by dusk. So it's dark and I can't see in the back of the shed. It's not a lit shed. It's just an old wooden building. And I take my mag light and I'm banging on a metal bucket and the squirrel's freaking out. But as the squirrel's freaking out, I'm freaking out thinking he's gonna like jump on me from the far corner of the shed. He's kind of trapped in the back corner of the shed and I'm in the doorway and I don't really know what to do. I don't know how to get him out of the shed, but I was worried that he was going to invite his whole family into the shed. So that's not really an option. So I scared him enough that he crawled back up underneath the roof, under the eaves of the shed. And as I told you on our last show, for about 2-3 minutes, I could still see his claws. So I couldn't see him. I don't know how he got his fat butt wedged back up underneath the roof because this squirrel was, he was chunky. He was plump. He'd already eaten his Thanksgiving and yours as well. And so he's up underneath the eaves and all I can see are his little claws clinging to one of the boards in the roof. So I keep banging and like yelling. My neighbors must have thought I was a total idiot. I mean, probably not the first time, but I'm trying to scare the squirrel so that hopefully he'll drop down on the back side of the shed. But I don't actually know if that's possible. So I didn't know if he was still in there. I finally went inside because he wasn't moving and I wasn't moving. It was like a stalemate. So we were doing a stare down. So I figured it was better to just leave and let him take care of himself. My mom suggested I leave the door open, and I thought that was a really bad idea because we also have skunks and birds and all kinds of chipmunks, and heavens, we have deer, though my fence generally keeps the deer out. So I closed the door, and on Tuesday afternoon, many of you sent me tweets or Facebook posts asking me what happened with the squirrel. So as you can imagine, I was a little nervous when I opened up the door to the shed on Tuesday afternoon to get my tools out again. I open it very cautiously. I don't hear anything. It's quiet in the back of the shed. So I'm having to remove some tools that are toward that far corner where the squirrel had taken up residence. And I'm not kidding you. I was really nervous. I opened up the door quietly, but then I got really loud, hoping that I would scare him again so he would make his presence known if he was still in there. And I'm rattling around. Oh, and just for safety, in case the squirrel did decide to do a flying leap, I grabbed my shovel and was like holding it up in the air. There's a good thing there's no video of this because I probably looked extremely comical. But I've got my shovel just in case he comes flying at me. Not a peep. Somehow Mr. Squirrel, fat thing that he is, let himself out. I don't know if he, like I say, dropped down on the other side. It's certainly not a waterproof shed. Well, it's waterproof, but it's not an airtight shed. I don't know if he, there's a hole in the door, one of those knots. You know how like knots in the wood develop and the wood is gone? There's a hole. So I wonder if he could squeeze his fat rear end through that hole in the shed. I'm not really sure. But thankfully, either he's extremely quiet and he just is hiding in there, or he actually did find a way out. But I believe that Mr. Squirrel and I have found an acceptable compromise about how to share the shed and share the lawn. So disaster averted, other than me having to use a pitchfork to to step on a fern and to separate it so I could repot it. But I think everything's done except the hose. If you have suggestions about how to get all the water out of the hose, you just let me know. It's my first time doing this, peeps, and I'm learning as we go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll do an extended version of QB News because we got some real pertinent information for those of you who are looking ahead to week 11. Week 11. Oh my goodness. So we've got everything from the San Francisco 49ers to the Dallas Cowboys to the Detroit Lions to the Seattle Seahawks, also to the Chicago Bears. We've got a lot of information in there for QB news that will help you as you look ahead to what's coming up. Also, you know, there's been a lot of rumblings about potential moves that are going to be made as part of NBA free agency. A lot of excitement about Chris Paul going to the Suns and also Brian Scalabrine joining the Milwaukee Bucks. So I want to give you some of the feedback there. And obviously, we're hours away from the NBA draft. Actually, I shouldn't say obviously because some of you probably didn't know. I'll just be honest and raise my hand and say that I didn't actually know until about a week and a half ago what the date was for the NBA draft. I just don't think that far ahead these days. And then I mentioned that there is a surprise move in Chicago. So why don't we do a little bit on the Chicago Cubs here? I know we have a lot of Cubs fans nationwide. Theo Epstein was the architect of these Cubs that finally snapped the century-old and then some curse and helped them put together a team that won the 2016 World Series. His plan was always to stick around for a decade. And yet, he actually is leaving with a year remaining on his deal. So he will not stay with the Cubs through 2021. And he did a press conference to kind of announce this decision and also the transition to Jed Hoyer, who he's worked with before in Boston.
It became really clear that we'd be facing some significant long-term decisions this winter. Decisions with long-term impacts. And, you know, those types of decisions are really best made by somebody who's going to be here for a long time, not just for one more year.
I do like the fact that Theo Epstein is thinking about the Cubs and not about Theo. I mean, he obviously has been paid handsomely, and he won yet another World Series, so he's got multiple titles on his resume as general manager. But the fact that he realizes the decisions that the Cubs will make this winter, it not only about personnel, but also financial decisions, that those are made, or they should be made, by people who are going to be sticking around. And he was not planning on sticking around through 2021, but he felt like that it wasn't appropriate for him to make those decisions when he's thinking short term and the organization is thinking long term. Now, I can't underscore enough that this pandemic is affecting teams financially in ways that will be felt for years to come, which is another piece of Theo's decision.
We were going to be facing a challenge of having to allocate some temporarily reduced resources in a way that would allow us to move forward and be successful. And had I decided to come back in 2021, that would have made that challenge even more difficult.
You may remember that originally when baseball was planning its return, as it were, all the arguing, that what we kept hearing from Rob Manfred and from the owners is that baseball would lose 40% of its revenue without fans in the stands. Now, they managed to get through a season in which they did have at least the full playoffs, which brings in a lot of that TV revenue. So they were able to recoup some of the revenue, but with only 60 games and no fans in any of the stadiums until they got to Globe Life Field for the NLCS and the World Series, certainly they missed millions and millions and millions of dollars. The NBA has talked about how even coming back, but doing its playoffs without fans and doing it in a bubble, cost it $1.5 billion in revenue. These are not losses that can be absorbed in one season. Not to mention, we're still seeing an economy struggling in the face of a pandemic and now surging numbers and what they've called the second wave of COVID-19. And so it's smart to think about how the impacted economy, but also the idea that there could be no fans or limited fans into 2021. Those are all things that teams have to plan for. These are factors that will affect their bottom line. I would expect that many teams are going to have to make cuts so that they can even break even, forget, make money, but are going to have to cut not just personnel, but expenses on personnel, but also potentially the money they're spending on their front office and the money that they're spending on people who work for the organization. We know it's happened in every industry, as well as in sports. Teams, franchises are cutting employees. They're cutting salaries. They're cutting corners to try to make ends meet as best as possible. So sports is not immune to what's happening financially and economically around the United States. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Theo Epstein has always been consistent in saying that he feels like front office executives generally should be ready to move on after 10 years. He thinks it gets stale after that, and the front office deserves to have a new voice. And so he leaves 1 year early, recognizing the challenges for the Cubs. And certainly this is going to trickle down to player personnel as well. We are going to see teams, I think, be a little smarter with their checkbooks, with their pocketbooks. But also the fact that, as I say, they're likely to spend less money on their front offices too. It was a profitable relationship, no doubt. The Cubs got everything they wanted from Theo Epstein and then some.
I am so incredibly grateful for the last 9 years. It's been really a life-changing experience for me and for my family. The best part, of course, has been the relationships and the connections with people.
The Cubs went to the NLCS 3 times during his 9 seasons. They won the World Series in 2016, which, incidentally, was one of these sports events that you told me going way back. This is probably going back to 14 or 15. We did a show in which I asked you, what are the sports events that you want to see in your lifetime? Number one, by far, was the U.S. men win a World Cup in soccer. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but that was number one by far. The top three was rounded out by a Triple Crown winner, which we have since seen twice, actually, which is phenomenal. And then the Cubs winning the World Series, which they did in 16. So it ended a 108-year drought, and it was an incredible moment to witness. And he did everything, again, that the Cubs could have asked for and then some. And I appreciate that Epstein wants to see the franchise left in good hands and in a good position, and realizes that him sticking around for one more year is not what's best for the team. It's selfless. He's only 46 years old, by the way, and already has 3 World Series to his credit, so he can get a job pretty much anywhere that he wants to. But he sent a letter to Jeff Passan, who covers Major League Baseball, and actually said, next summer will be my first in 30 years not clocking into work every day at a Major League ballpark. So it seems like he's going to take some time off, though there are definitely openings available out there in teams that would be anxious to have him. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Producer Dave is also taking your Thanksgiving tweets and sharing them on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's where you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Same thing with our Facebook page. I kind of feel like Ask Amy is getting the shaft because you're all excited about Thanksgiving, but it's fine. If we have to, Producer Dave will fake the questions. No, I think we do have enough questions. So we'll do some QB news coming up in 20 minutes. We'll get back to your phone calls here, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're glad to have you on board.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I'd always planned to be with the Cubs for about 10 years. Because of that, Tom and I had been in communication for the last several years about a possible transition and trying to figure out a way to execute a transition that would be best for the Cubs, put the organization in the best possible position, and also be good for me.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It definitely was good for Theo Epstein and certainly profitable for the Chicago Cubs. And he will stay involved with baseball, though it may not be coming up in 2021. He's also indicated that he'd like to be part of an ownership group somewhere down the road. This guy's not even 50 years old yet, and his resume is pretty extensive. 3 different World Series, 2 with the Red Sox, 1 with the Cubs. And they've got all kinds of other elements to their building project that he was the mastermind for, like overhauling the farm system, all the young talent that they brought in, MVP awards and individual honors. And so it's just it's a pretty incredible tenure that he had with Chicago, and other teams will certainly want to woo Theo Epstein. But for now, he's taking some time away. And I do think it's going to be fascinating to see what impact, and by fascinating, I mean morbid fascination, to see what impact the economy will have on sports moving forward, because no industry is immune in this day and age until we kind of get through this pandemic, and the vaccine certainly will help. But before we can see the full impact, we're going to have to get past it, right? Hindsight is 20/20, and so we're not exactly going to know how this impacts all sports. It's just, it's, we know in the middle that franchises and leagues are already trying to take some kind of precautions against the losses that they know are coming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Rank them. You love to rank things, everything. You're asking me to rank things all the time. So rank your top three Thanksgiving must-haves as we get toward Thanksgiving. My favorite holiday, my favorite meal of the entire year. 855-212-4227. Andrew is in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, nice to hear from you, Amy. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool.
So, obviously, turkey's a absolute given in the Mayer household. So we'll put that aside. But mashed potatoes and gravy and pie. And you've heard the saying, the only two certainties in life are death and taxes.
Yes, I don't agree with that, but okay.
Well, in Michigan, we got a third one, and that's a Detroit Lions loss on Thanksgiving.
So
those are my top three.
That's your must-have as a loss? Maybe just the Lions without a loss? They're one game. They're one win shy of 500 now, man.
Well, usually this time of year, the season's pointless, so we're just looking ahead to our next coach and our next draft. So we might as well just get it over with, because we're not gonna go anywhere.
Hey, man, I disagree with you. I don't think you speak for everybody. Probably a lot of dejected Detroit fans, but the fact is that it's way more fun to win than lose. I mean, you mean to tell me the TJ Hockenson touchdown catch or this Matt Prater 59-yard field goal didn't give you a jolt of joy in any way, shape, or form?
You know what? The Hockenson touchdown did, because more times than not, the Lions are on the other end of that spectrum.
Exactly.
So even if at the end of the year, I mean, that was a cool moment, I will say. But, I mean, let's be honest, the Lions, we're not going to go anywhere.
Well, but this is part, man, you are totally jaded. This is part of getting better, is you don't go from 0-16 to 16-0 in the span of a year. I mean, you got to have some baby steps along the way, like TJ Hockenson game-winning touchdowns and 59-yard field goals.
You know, I agree with some of the things you're saying, Amy. I've been watching the Lions now my entire life. I mean, I'm only 32 years old, but and I'm not a football expert by any means. But, I mean, if you just look at, like, Matt Patricia's scheme, like I said, I'm no expert. You could put Hall of Famers in a scheme. I don't think it's ever going to work. Defensive mind of coach coming in, I mean, the Lions' defense sucks. Our offense can put up points, no doubt, but when you're giving up 30 points a game, I mean, you're not going to win anything.
All right. Tell that to the Seahawks. But, yes, okay. I gotcha. I understand. It takes a lot for you to get excited, and you probably feel like the Lions have cried wolf one too many times. So I get it, but I hope for your sake that there is a win. I don't even know who they're playing. I haven't even looked that far ahead. But I hope it's a win for your Thanksgiving, just to spite you. The Lions are going to spite you, Andrew.
There's no doubt I'm ready to get hurt again.
Oh, now I'm crushed. Don't let your heart be broken by a sports team. It's not worth it.
I mean, it's dire in Michigan right now. We got no good football teams. The Tigers are on the up, so I won't give them that much. The Red Wings, we got Yzerman back in the front office.
Mm-hmm.
But the Pistons hopefully don't trade up to take LaMelo Ball, but we'll see. We don't got a lot of positivity in the sports world around here, but that's, at the end of the day, sports, they're an escape, so they're doing that for us.
That is true. If you're complaining about your football team, at least there's something normal about 2020, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Andrew, good to talk to you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Amy. You too.
Let's talk to Dan, who's in Michigan. Dan, welcome to After Hours.
Amy, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've got three things that have been this way for 40 years. Barbecue turkey, pork sausage stuffing, and gravy. But since turkey's a given.
Well, not barbecue turkey. I've never heard of a barbecue turkey. Do you actually brush it with barbecue sauce?
No. It's barbecued on the grill. It takes about 12 hours.
Oh, okay.
To cook a 20-pound turkey with stuffing in it. But my thing, since turkey's a given, okay, Brussels sprout, cheesy bacon Brussels sprout.
You put bacon with anything, bacon and cheese, and I'm in, man.
I hated Brussels sprouts before I had cheesy bacon Brussels sprout.
Yeah, no, I mean, you probably can't even tell it's a Brussels sprout.
Oh, no, you can. But it's
because of the shape.
It's not the same thing as what made me sick when I was a kid.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, like I said, add cheese and bacon to a piece of wood, and I think it probably tastes okay.
Cheese, bacon, a lot of butter.
Add cheese, bacon, and butter to dog food, and it would probably taste okay.
Well, I don't know. I have eaten dog food, so that's... I've done a lot of things on dare, so.
If I added cheese and bacon to Penny's dog food every day, oh, heavens, she would be in heaven. But also, I would have to be cleaning up messes, so no. The Australian Shepherds have notoriously weak stomachs, so she gets very boring food.
Your squirrel thing hit me home, because I had a squirrel up in my roof in my house.
Yeah.
And this is how I handled it.
Uh-oh.
John Wick 1 in on a surround sound, turn it all the way up.
Oh, ouch.
And I was blasting it in the house because they were in my roof.
Right.
And then after they got out, then I went and fixed the area they were getting in.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a problem since.
Awesome. That's awesome, Dan. Thank you for sharing that. I don't know that my neighbors would appreciate me blasting anything in my shed. However, it appears that the squirrel has either found the perfect place to hide or that he has made his way out of the shed. So I think we're all good for now.
Yep. Well,
thanks,
you have a wonderful weekend and a great Thanksgiving, Amy.
Thank you, Dan. You're welcome. 855-212-4227, our toll-free line here, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Yeah, I got a text message from a friend of mine who's in Ohio, and he said, so did you get the squirrel out of your shed? And I thought, wait a minute, how did you know about the squirrel? So he was listening to the podcast and needed to know about the squirrel. And my mom asked me about the squirrel. And yeah, it's a universal problem. I think a lot of people who have homes or rent homes end up having critters who try to take up residence. My mom always gives me the guilt trip. Oh, the poor mouse is probably cold, looking for a warm place to sleep. Yeah, Mom, it's never just one mouse. It's a family of 50. You know, like they like to take up residence and invite everyone they know. So thankfully the cat that I have normally takes care of the mice. And in the new house, I haven't yet had you want to know what I've done? Now, I don't know if this works. You guys can call me crazy. You probably do anyway. I've heard, though, that peppermint repels rodents. And so I went and I got, well, I didn't need this much tea from Amazon. I don't know what I was thinking, but I bought a pound of peppermint tea from Amazon and it shipped. And now I've got in these little containers all over my house. So I have not quite an attic, but I've got doors underneath my eaves. I have a cape. And so there's crawl spaces in there. I've got big pots of peppermint leaves in there. I've got little packets of peppermint in all of my closets everywhere because it's an older house. And it seems like these little critters love my neighborhood. So far, so good. I have no idea if it's the smell of the cat or if it's the peppermint, but so far, so good. Although it's just now getting cold. Dave, do you think that sounds ridiculous? Peppermint to repel the rodents.
I mean, I'm not going to go with ridiculous. I've never heard that one before. I'll say that. It's a new one to my ears.
You get it from the essential oils people. You know what essential oils are?
Yeah.
They will tell you that peppermint. So I didn't do the oil thing, but I did do the peppermint tea leaves.
whatever works.
Yeah.
That's what I'm about. I've had birds, squirrels, the whole nine, and then you find holes in the exterior of your house you didn't even know you had.
Oh, gosh. That's something that I will have to deal with at some point if it becomes an issue. But for now, I'm just hoping it does not. This is so much fun to talk about, but I'd rather talk about Thanksgiving instead of critters. Chuck on Facebook, turkey and gravy, stuffing cooked inside the turkey, southern mac and cheese. That's a popular one from a lot of people who listen in the South. Jack has turkey, the mashed potatoes and gravy, and then green bean casserole. Gary says turkey dressing with giblet. It's giblet, right? Not giblet. Gibbles and bits. Dressing with giblet gravy. And then how do you say, Dave, how do you say P-E-C-A-N?
I don't know.
P-E-C-A-N. Think about it. I just spelled a nut for you.
I did not hear the way you spelled that correctly. I'm just going to admit. I say pecan.
Okay, so depending on where you're from and how you were raised, some people say pecan, other people say pecan. In my family, don't ask me why, some of us say pecan and some of us say pecan, which is kind of funny. I say pecan, so Gary maybe wanted me to say pecan, but I failed him miserably. Susan, bread stuffing, cranberry sauce, sweet potatoes, and Nathan says corn pudding. He spells it like that, pudding. I'm from the South. Pecan pie and green bean casserole. So there's some really good suggestions here, and I'm going to read as many as I can, especially the ones that have different elements to them. Your top three Thanksgiving must-haves on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, and then our phone number, 855-212-4227. I'll reveal another one of my must-haves before the end of the hour. Meanwhile, producer Dave is counting backwards. We've got QB News coming up next. Thanks for joining us on The Hump Show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Bay, right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake. Looking. Floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! And with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Breeze from the shotgun. Has time. Guns it down the middle. And he's going to score!
Goss stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling. Falling down chest high. Heavily covered. Touchdown catch.
Oh, baby, what a throw by Stafford.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Coming up top of the hour, a longtime NBA scout and consultant will join us to talk about this atypical, unconventional NBA draft that takes place on Wednesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're having a lot of fun talking Thanksgiving foods. But of course, we're also obsessed with our quarterbacks, probably as much as we are with our Thanksgiving food. So we want to give you the latest from that most impactful position on the NFL gridiron. First of all, Nick Foles, who left the final minute of Monday Night Football and had to be carted off. He actually has gotten better news than what many anticipated. So the Bears are going into their bye. We already know that Mitch Trubisky was dealing with shoulder pain and a shoulder injury. Well, come to find out, the diagnosis for Nick Foles is not as bad as what they were expecting. So according to multiple sources, it's just a hip pointer. It's not me who's feeling the pain, but it's a hip pointer as opposed to some type of structural damage or a broken bone or goodness, who else knows, dislocation, anything like that. And that's good. He was scheduled for more tests on Tuesday, but initially the prognosis is that this is not something that will send him to IR.
I would say right now, the IR thing, I don't see that happening. I feel pretty good with him there. And then in regards to both guys right now with Mitch and him, they're both a little banged up. So that's the number one thing that we have to look at. And then we'll take this bye week here again, and we will self-scout ourselves and we will see the wheres and the whys. And whatever we need to do, we will do on a lot of different areas. So I can't say one way or the other on anything other than we will when you lose four games in a row, it's all on the table. Everything's out there. So, but the number one thing with Nick and with Mitch that we are concerned about right now is making sure that their health is the number one priority. And that'll be significant here moving forward.
We have to self-evaluate ourselves. That was probably my favorite part of what Matt Nagy had to say, other than the fact that Nick Foles is not as seriously injured as what they were fearing. And, of course, the bye week. So, yes, everything should be on the table. You have a four-game losing skid. You should be looking and self-evaluating yourself at every position, coaching as well as playing. The Bears are off until the Packers in week number 12. So it doesn't get any easier for Chicago. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The injury news that is accumulated with quarterbacks has hit no team harder than the Dallas Cowboys. So of course, Dak Prescott out for the year, maybe even longer. And then Andy Dalton, who not only was in concussion protocol, but then ended up on the COVID-19 reserve list. However, as the Cowboys come off of their bye, owner Jerry Jones does expect that Dalton will be able to play in week number 11.
Obviously, relative to Andy's anything to do with COVID is clear, or he wouldn't be out there. But the other thing, you have to always have a little hesitancy when you say he's cleared to go. But right now, he is cleared to go, or he wouldn't have been practicing. Andy Dalton's a starter in the NFL, a legitimate starter, started careers of games. He's where you want your quarterback on an experience scale. He's where you want to be when you line up in a football game. So we got to take advantage of that.
This is the best case scenario, I agree, for the Dallas Cowboys to have someone in Andy Dalton who has a ton of wisdom and experience, nearly a decade starting with the Bengals. However, it does not help that he's been away from the team, not only with concussion protocol, but with the COVID protocols for, 3 weeks now? I mean, that's tough for anyone to overcome, even if you are an experienced starter. Think about Cam Newton and what he went through. So Jerry Jones on 105.3 The Fan, our affiliate in Dallas with his weekly appearance, does expect to see Dalton starting, not Ben DiNucci, not Garrett Gilbert. They're going to go back to Dalton when the Cowboys are on the road at the Vikings right now, who have won 3 games in a row and are looking really good. And I shudder to think of what Dalvin Cook can accomplish against that Dallas defense if they don't buck up little campers. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Another piece of injury news that I want to pass on is that it looks like Matthew Stafford will be able to play on Sunday against Carolina. So he had x-rays on his injured right hand. They came back negative, a little bit of pain there, but it doesn't appear as though he's going to miss a game. So that's another piece of injury news that is significant. As much as Lions fans are prepared for the worst always and a little bit cynical about their team, I still think that winning is better than losing. It's easy for me to say, I know. Well, it's not so much. I'm a Broncos fan, for heaven's sakes. Winning is better than losing. Even if you don't feel like the team is going anywhere, you might as well enjoy what they've been able to do at this point. And that's a 4-5 record and a couple of last second wins. Exciting, right? Right, Lions fans? I would take those. The Seattle Seahawks, you're going the wrong way. Seattle has dropped 2 games in a row. First to Buffalo, then to the Rams. And what's significant about it is the turnovers. Russell Wilson, 7 turnovers. The worst 2 games in terms of turnovers in his entire career. But he remains hopeful. And I think you can tell his voice, his inflection, his enthusiasm, his great anticipation, all of that is back as he speaks to the media on Tuesday.
We've been super upbeat. You know, obviously we've had some tough challenges along the way, but everybody's upbeat. Everybody has great belief. You know, there's no doubt that we're talented. There's no doubt that we can do some great things. There's no doubt that we're going to continue to do great things. And that's what we're excited about. We're excited about this opportunity.
The guys that can keep getting up and keep swinging, you know, those are the players and those are the teams that keep overcoming. And, what I do know about myself, I'm an overcomer. You know, I'm a guy that just,
Mr.
you know, I've been
Unlimited.
Doubted before. And one thing about me is, you know, I'm going to keep swinging like I told you guys. And I think as a team too, We're going to keep going for it. We're going to keep making plays. We're going to keep doing our best. We're doing everything we can to prepare at the highest level. And I think you just eliminate some of the simple mistakes. I think that's the simple part of it. But you don't get misconstrued on what you've done before in the past and what you're doing, what you've been doing all season so far, you know. And so I think for us, it's just getting right back in alignment and just keep believing, keep speaking great language, you know, stay neutral in the midst of it all and keep going for it. So that's kind of stuff we've been talking about.
Seahawks started out 5-0. Now they're 6-3, though. They are still tied for the lead in the NFC West. But going back to week 7, Russell Wilson has 10 turnovers, his most in a 4-game stretch since he got into the NFL back in 2012. So he's part of the problem, and Pete Carroll has acknowledged that. In the NFC West, you've got the Niners in the basement, the only team that's below 500. But already the questions are starting, not about this year, but about Jimmy Garoppolo next season in the Bay Area.
I expect Jimmy to be our starter next year. I mean, I expect him to come and play with us this year. You know, we have 6 games left. We are not out of the playoffs yet. You know, I've been on a team that was 3-6 going into a bye week that ended up winning their division. I think we have guys on this team capable of finishing this the right way. We got to do one game at a time, and I hope Jimmy can come back and be a part of that. But to think that we've made any decisions on anybody going into the future isn't the case. Jimmy's won a lot of games for us this year. It's a lot harder to win games when he's not here. And just hoping we can get him back.
The vote of confidence from Kyle Shanahan. They're certainly not in the running or looking for a quarterback, at least at this point. But Trevor Lawrence, he is the prize for a lot of teams that are going the wrong way, like the Jets, like the Jaguars. Lawrence getting set to return to the field for Clemson after his couple of weeks away with the COVID protocols.
I feel just as good as I did when I left a few weeks ago, and back to normal, feeling good, getting my timing back with all the receivers and everything, and just getting back in the swing of things, but I'm feeling really good. I think through this whole thing, even before this year's been a little different, I think everyone has a greater appreciation for what we get to do, just with, you know, everything kind of being in jeopardy in fall camp and the beginning of the season, and then, you know, figuring out how we're going to get to play and all that stuff has been, everyone's had a bigger appreciation. But then, you know, actually having to miss a couple of weeks, definitely, I was appreciative to be back. And just shows you it's a privilege to get to do what we do.
One thing that I've been reminded of in 2020 over and over again, and Trevor Lawrence references it there, take nothing for granted. The fact that we have football, college football, with all of its turmoil, with all of the postponements and cancellations, the NFL, even with a few tweaks to the schedule, Major League Baseball, despite a shortened season, we still got the playoffs. We still crowned champions in the NHL and the NBA. We still had Dustin Johnson win the Masters in November. I will not ever take it for granted. It is a blessing and it's a gift.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.